You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
The book of Leviticus. Now let's be honest. You start in January reading through the Bible in a year. And you get through Genesis, and you are sailing along, and you get through Exodus, and then you hit Leviticus, and sometimes it gets a little foggy. And after you make it through Leviticus, then you get to Numbers and the genealogies, and then sometimes you really start slowing down. But the book of Leviticus, first of all, I want to say this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Leviticus is not in the Bible by accident. God didn't need an extra book and say, oh, I'm one short. I'll stick this one in. Leviticus was written for a specific purpose. We saw in Exodus, the first part of Exodus, the children of Israel, they exited. They came out of Egypt. Then the book of Exodus deals with the giving of the law. Remember that? God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and God gave him the laws for the nation of Israel. Every nation has to have laws, and the nation of Israel was no exception. The exception is that God's the one that gave them their laws. They didn't need a Senate or representatives or branches of government to come up with their laws. But then you have the Exodus, you have the law, and then you have the tabernacle. In the book of Exodus, the tabernacle is completed in Exodus 40. Then we get to Leviticus. I love this. Leviticus 1:1. Notice what God is doing from the tabernacle. The tabernacle has been set up. Remember, there was the outer court. There was the holy place. There was the Holy of Holies. It's all set. It's ready to go. It's ready for worship. And Leviticus 1:1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the, where? Oh, you know what? God didn't give his people a tabernacle for it to be a monument, for it to be a sightseeing adventure. He gave them a tabernacle to worship him, and from that tabernacle, God is speaking to his people. Now, we don't have a tabernacle today. A tabernacle was a temporary structure. We don't even have the temple. We don't have a Jewish temple. We don't have the temple that was constructed by Solomon. But you know what we have today? We have God's plan for this day. We have the local New Testament church, and God has called us here to assemble, to worship him. And guess what God does from the temple? Guess what God does from the tabernacle? Guess what God does from the church? He speaks to us. And aren't you glad for the services where you've come and you know God spoke to you? Now, I'll tell you, there's sometimes where God doesn't speak, and I think it's because we're not listening. I think he's speaking and we're just not paying attention. I think sometimes we're still thinking about all the things that went wrong today and all the things we got to do tomorrow. Friend, when you come to church, I hope you come with your heart open, your ears open, your mind open. I hope you come like a sponge saying, God, speak to me. I need something to be heard from God out of the church. And so God speaks. Leviticus, the name Leviticus, it literally means that which pertains to the Levites. Now, who are the Levites? The Levites were the sons of Levi that God instructed to be responsible for the worship of God. Remember when Joshua divided the land, and when we get to that, the promised land, when Joshua divided the land, the Levites didn't get any land. They didn't get a portion. You know why? God said, I will be your portion. And the Levites were devoted to the temple, the tabernacle, the worship of God, the sacrifices. That was their responsibility. From the Levites come the priests. From the Levites come those that will minister to God. John Phillips is a great commentator of yesteryear. And John Phillips says this, in Exodus, God gets his people out of Egypt. But in Leviticus, God gets Egypt out of his people. The book of Leviticus is about God's people being holy. The book of Leviticus is about God's people being different. They spent over 400 years in Egypt. And don't you know, it doesn't take 400 years. It doesn't take a few years. Sometimes it takes a few weeks or a few months, and you get in the world, and the world starts to seep in, and the world starts to infiltrate, and the world starts to influence you. But God's not called us to be like the world. God's called us to be different from the world. And God called his people out of Egypt, and now he's trying to get Egypt out of his people. John Phillips went on to say that Exodus is the book of deliverance, but Leviticus is the book of dedication. And I'll tell you, I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad God delivered me, but I want to be dedicated. And I want to be consecrated, and I want to be holy, and I want to be set apart for God. And that's what Leviticus is all about. In the book of Exodus, we see the Passover and the sacrifice. But in Leviticus, we see the details of that sacrifice. Leviticus contains some great spiritual truths that are many times found in symbols. Many of these symbols concerning the sacrifices and the priests are explained when you get to the book of Hebrews. Because in the book of Hebrews, you know what it talks about? It talks about the sacrifice. It talks about the priest. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our sacrifice. And Jesus is our high priest. And the book of Hebrews says, what you had in Leviticus, it was good. But what you got in Hebrews and what you got through Jesus is so much better. And I'm glad that we've got Jesus. I'm glad that we know him. I'm glad that he is the sacrifice for sin. And he is our great high priest. Leviticus is a book that shows the holiness of God and the demands for God's people to live holy. Exodus is a picture of salvation. Leviticus is a picture of sanctification. So we get to Leviticus chapter 1 and verse number 1, and we see that God is speaking to Moses, and he's got a message for his people. God cares how we live. God didn't just save you, and God didn't just save me, and then just throw us out into the world and say, all right, do your best. Figure it out. Just try some different experiments to see what works. No, God saved us, and then he gave us an entire book to tell us how we are supposed to live. Now, some of us get a little nervous when we start talking about specifics, when we start talking about details, when we start talking about the nuts and bolts. Well, I want to tell you, you may not like the details of a particular project. You may not like the details of a particular topic or a hobby or whatever, or a project you're working on. But when it comes to living the Christian life, we better pay attention to the details. Because we're responsible to live according to what God requires from us. And ignorance is no excuse for the law. I've said this probably a dozen times in the 10 years that I've been here. But if you get out on 158 and you start driving 85 miles an hour and the officer pulls you over and you say, I didn't know. I didn't see the sign. First of all, I don't recommend you try that. But if you do, I will guarantee you that officer is not going to be impressed with your excuse for your ignorance, because you're responsible to know, right? You're responsible to see the sign. You're responsible. And unless you've just got a really good sob story, and unless you can just pull one over on the officer, you're probably getting a ticket for that. Well, I got news for you. God is not looking for excuses of ignorance. God expects us to know and to study and to read his word. That's why if you get saved and you say, I'm going to heaven, and you live like the devil, you've missed it. Because getting saved is not the end. Getting saved and putting your faith and trust in Christ, it is the beginning of a wonderful, glorious, abundant, victorious life that you can have in Jesus. As a matter of fact, the most miserable people in the world are not unsaved people. I think the most miserable people in the world are people that are backslidden. People that should know better. People that do know better but choose to live a life apart from God. And so we see in Leviticus, God has instructions for his people. In Genesis, we find the remedy for sin in the prophecy of the seed of the woman, Jesus, that would come. In Exodus, we see the blood of the sacrifice. And in Leviticus, we see the priests. We see the sacrifices. We see the altar. And we see the importance of these things. In Leviticus, by the way, this is introduction. Leviticus, we see, one, how to get to God. Did you know that a holy God cannot be approached in a flippant manner? A holy God cannot be approached in an unholy manner. A holy God must be approached, and you must come to God in a certain way if you're going to get to him. You say, well, how's that? Well, today, there's only one way you can get to God, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. He's the only way. There are not many ways. There are not multiple ways. There are not many options to get to God. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus. Leviticus showed the people of Israel how they could get to God. Secondly, it shows the people of Israel how to stay in fellowship with God. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that why we're here tonight? Because if you've been saved and you know God and you've experienced fellowship with God, you want to stay in that fellowship. There is nothing as sweet as being in fellowship with God. There is nothing as sweet as walking with God and knowing his will. But we must learn how to stay in fellowship with God. And then in Leviticus, we see how to worship God. And what an important thing it is for God's people to learn how to worship God. Did you know you can't worship God however you want? As a matter of fact, Jesus even said it like this: they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to have both. So let's look quickly at the overview of Leviticus. I'm going to give you just a few thoughts that I hope will be helpful to you. I think we're going to finish, Lord willing, we'll finish tonight. Number one, I see chapters 1 through 17 in Leviticus deal with the sacrifices. Now, this is not a trick question, but why did God's people have to offer sacrifices? What was the reason for the sacrifices? Because of their sin. Because sin demands a sacrifice. Sin demands an atonement. And God had five specific sacrifices or five specific offerings that God's people were required under the law to bring. There were three that were offerings of a sweet savor. There was a burnt offering. There was a meal offering. There was a peace offering. And then there were two sin offerings. One was referred to as the sin offering, and another was referred to as a trespass offering. We get to chapter 6. Notice with me if you turn to chapter 6. So chapters 1 through 17 deal with the sacrifices. Chapter 6, verse number 13, the Bible tells us something interesting about the altar. It says, the fire on the altar shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And you say, well, why? Because they were constantly bringing sacrifices. Because of the sins of the people, they were bringing sacrifices constantly, and that fire was continually going. We get to chapter 10. In Leviticus chapter 10, we find in verse number 1 that Nadab and Abihu, they were the sons of Aaron, they took their censers, they put fire therein, and they put incense therein, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, friend, do you think God is concerned with details? You better believe it. So much so that two of Aaron's sons, who were the priests, they decided that they would try a different way to worship God. They would use strange fire. They would do how they felt like it should be done. And God sent fire down from heaven and killed them. Now, I'm just telling you, as pastors, as preachers, as teachers, as leaders of God's people, we have a responsibility to do it God's way. We're not looking for the latest trend. We're not looking for what's popular. We're not looking for what everybody else thinks that you should do. We want to know, what does God say? And we're not looking for strange fire. We want to stick with what God has given us. And I'll tell you what works. It works when you do it God's way. It works when you stick with the book. We see in chapter 11, there are dietary laws that are given. Chapters 12 through 15, a personal cleanliness, which, by the way, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's a good thing. But these are all pictures. If God's people were so diligently to work to be physically clean, oh, how we ought to work to be spiritually clean. You wouldn't think of going a day without taking a bath or taking a shower or brushing your teeth or doing something to be clean physically. But how many times do we go into a day without taking the time to be spiritually clean, without a spiritual bath, without bathing in the Word of God and bathing in prayer? We see in chapter 17, you got to see this, Leviticus 17 and verse number 11. I love this. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Can I tell you, there is still power in the blood. We're not talking about the blood of lambs and goats anymore. We're talking about the blood of the precious Lamb of God. There is power in that blood. But then we get to chapters 18 through 27, and these chapters deal with not the sacrifice, but these deal with separation. Notice with me Leviticus 18 and verse number 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and do my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." We see separation. God wants his people separate from the world. God wants his people different from the world. And I want to tell you, if we're not careful in 2024, as Christians, we are becoming more and more and more like the world every day, and less and less and less like Jesus. When in reality, it ought to be reversed. The longer we're saved, we ought to be less like the world. We ought to be more like Christ. We ought to be less like the worldliness and the ungodliness and the wickedness that we see every day. And we ought to be more like Christ. May God help us to be different. We see in Leviticus 20, verse number 7, if you'll turn there, the Bible says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." We see there the sanctification and the holiness that God requires. Again, we see in chapter 20 and verse number 26, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you." I have separated you from other people, that ye should be mine. We see in chapter 21 and 22, we see the priests are discussed and the importance of the priests. We'll get to that in a minute. Then we see in chapter 23, we see the feasts. Such as the Passover and the unleavened bread and first fruits and Pentecost and the trumpets and the atonement and the tabernacles, these seven feasts we see listed out throughout the book of Leviticus. We see the importance of a weekly Sabbath and then a yearly Sabbath, and then every 50th year was the year of Jubilee. And that's a whole nother study. I'll get into that another time. But we see that God gives his people guidelines for how to live. God gives his people guidelines for how they're supposed to live in the land that he is going to give them, the promised land. And then notice in Leviticus 26 and verse number 12, I like this. It says in Leviticus 26 verse 12, "And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people." Let me give you quickly, here's the points, the truths, the applications I want to give you from the book of Leviticus, and we'll go quickly. Number one, we see the sacrifice. We've already talked about it. The sacrifice for the people of God, it was an animal. It was the blood that was shed. We saw it in Exodus. We see it in Leviticus. It is the blood that is shed from the sacrifice. Well, we know who our sacrifice is. It's Jesus. Jesus is the sacrifice for the sin. And it's not just lasting for a year. It's not just lasting for a 5 or 10 or 20 years, but it lasts forever. It cleanses us from all sin. He is our Passover lamb. Secondly, we see salvation. And for the people of God, they came out of Egypt. They came through that Red Sea, a picture of salvation, and they experienced salvation. Friend, I want to tell you, don't ever get over the day that God saved you. And don't ever forget when God says, I want you to live holy, God is saying, I want you to live holy, and that's the least that we could do after all he's done for us. Can you put a price tag on eternal life? Can you put a price tag on Jesus' death on the cross? Can you even begin to imagine what that's worth? And then God says, I want you to be holy. And we say, oh, that's too much. Hey, if Jesus would be willing to die for us, I think the least we could do is to live for him. And not live for him because we have to, but live for him because we get to. Because he loves us. We see salvation. Thirdly, we saw it in Leviticus 1:1. We see God speaking from the sanctuary. And I've already said it, but I want to tell you today, God still speaks. And God still speaks from the place of worship. And God still speaks from the church. And I'm glad that we haven't shut the doors. And Brother Duke, I don't know, you've seen it over your many years, but I'm amazed how many churches are shutting down. I'm amazed how many churches are shutting down services and how many churches are looking for opportunities to cancel services. For those of you who've been here very long, we're not looking for opportunities to cancel services. We're looking for opportunities to add services, you know. It seems like every time we turn around, here's a winter revival or summer revival or missions revival. Can I tell you, we need church because it's where God can speak to us. Now, I know God can speak to you at home. I understand that. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And God has chosen the local assembly of called out believers, the church. That is God's plan. And God has a message for us today. Quickly, number four, I see the lesson of sin. For God's people, that sin was dealt with by offering an animal, by offering a sacrifice, by bringing an offering. But that's not what we do today. Did you notice that when we passed the offering plate, I didn't say, all right, if you've been sinning a lot this week, you better put a lot of money in the plate. If so, we might need to get those ushers back. We might need to pass that again, especially some of these rows, right? How many of you think you got a pretty bad sinner in your row? Anybody be willing to say that? How many of you are the bad sinner in your row, right? Yeah, you ought to put your hand up. If you didn't, you are the one we're talking about. But you know what we do for our sin today? We don't bring animals to kill them, and we don't bring offerings, and we don't burn incense. The Bible says we confess our sin. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God hates sin. And so our sin must be dealt with. And although our sin was paid for on the cross of Calvary, although the blood was shed, that blood's got to be applied. And the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from our sin. Leviticus talks about how much God hates sin. But then quickly, I see the lesson number five. We've already talked about it, but it's the lesson of sanctification. That's really what Leviticus is about. It is, be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. If you have to ask, well, Pastor, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this music, or what's wrong with this movie, or what's wrong with this entertainment, or what's wrong with this lifestyle, or what's wrong with this this language, or what's right? If you've got to ask what's wrong with it, you probably already have your answer. How about we say, what's right with it? Because I'm interested in doing what's right. I'm interested in being holy. I'm interested in being more like Christ and less like the world. And we must be sanctified, set apart, different from the world and different unto God. Number six, the lesson of separation. I've already talked about it, but sanctification is to be set apart toward God. Separation is to be set apart from the world. And then lastly, I'll give you this. I see the lesson in Leviticus for servants. Servants of God. Specifically in Leviticus, we're talking about the Levites, the priests. It was their responsibility to maintain and to perform the worship of God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm off the hook. I'm not a Levite. I'm off the hook. I'm not even a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I don't have to worry about that stuff. Well, here's what 1 Peter chapter 2 says. If you're saved, the Bible says you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You know what we are today? We are priests. We are supposed to, I'm not talking about burning sacrifices and offering animals, I'm not talking about that, but we are servants of God. We have been given the responsibility to worship God and to help others to worship God. And so we are priests, but not only are we priests, we are the sacrifice. You say, oh man, that's scary. Because what happened to the sacrifices? They died. They were killed. They were offered on an altar. And that's why Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are servants of God. We serve the Lord as priests in the worship of God. We serve God as the sacrifice that is laid on the altar. We serve God as holy instruments and holy vessels. We get to 1 Peter chapter 1. And Peter tells the Christians that he's writing to, he says this, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Now, let's be totally honest in here. Let's be totally transparent with ourselves, and let's be transparent with the Lord. There's not a one of us in this room that could say, I've got that covered. I'm good on that, Pastor. Oh, man, you want to talk about holiness? You look it up in the dictionary. There's my picture right there because I'm just such a wonderful, perfect Christian. No, no. You know, we're all sinners. But that's why every day, we say, God, help me today to be holy. And that's why every day you got to get in the Word of God. You're not going to be holy without reading the Bible. You're not going to be holy without praying. You're not going to be holy without being filled by the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, if we're going to be a holy people, we're going to have to get serious about it. We're going to have to not just skim over the details like we do sometimes with, you know, the fine print, or like we do with a manual, or like we do with instructions. We're going to have to dive into this book. I'll tell you this. When you read the book of Leviticus, everything in the book of Leviticus has to do with Christ. Everything has to do with you. Everything has to do with me. Everything has to do with what God wants us to know. And these things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning and for our admonition. I hope the next time you read through the book of Leviticus, I hope God will speak to you. I hope you look for all those times where it says, be holy, be separate. I hope you look for all those times where it talks about worshiping God, all those times where it says, serving God. I hope you look for that because that is the purpose of the book. And it was written to God's people, the nation of Israel, but it is practical and it is beneficial and it is applicable for us today.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.